But on the line now, I have Carol Morgan, Regional Director with Concern. Good morning to you, Carol. How are you?
Good morning. Very well, thank you.
I've been talking about Sudan for a long, long time. Has there been any respite? What way has it been over the past, I think it was about 15 years ago I was talking about it. I know there's been lots of political changes, but give us a broad overview of what the way things have been happening.
Well, we had the war between the north and the south, so the Republic of Sudan, South Sudan. So you had that civil war that was going on for over 30 years. And then they had a peace agreement, and eventually in 2011, South Sudan became an independent country. And it had it was progressing reasonably well, a lot of donor support for about 2 years. And then in December 2013, there was conflict between the president and the vice president. And really, since then, that's really evolved into a war very much along ethnic lines. And in the last year, we have seen that the crisis has deepened and spread to areas that were not previously affected by the conflict. The whole of East Africa has been affected by a drought, really over the last 18 months. And South Sudan, then, or the countries that are affected by conflict, are particularly impacted by the drought. So what we've seen at the moment in South Sudan, you have a population of about 12 million, and we have over 2 million people that are actually displaced internally. So they've been forced to flee their homes because of the conflict. And about half of those are children. And we have over nearly 1.5 million in neighbouring countries. You know, in Uganda alone, we have almost 1 million refugees. And the government of Uganda are trying to deal with this enormous crisis. Mm-hmm. A major thing that's happened, I suppose, that's really had a detrimental effect, especially on the urban poor, is that we've seen a very high level of inflation. It's been the highest level of inflation in the world. It's over 800%. And as a result, now we have about 50% of the population of Juba are food insecure. So it's really a very severe crisis. And as you can imagine, a conflict that's been going on since 2013. As a result, people, the coping mechanisms have totally eroded. They're much more susceptible to illness and disease. We're also seeing widespread violence against civilians, including widespread sexual violence. For us, as working there, humanitarian agencies, we have an issue with access. Because of the conflict, we're not able to access sometimes the people most in need. So it really is, it's a dire situation, really.
Okay, just to tell our listeners, always looking for help, of course, in situations, but people can find out all about this as well, because we're only going to cover a little bit of it today. They can look up www.concern.net, and if they want to make some donations as well. Any outside influences, you know, the way other countries are having conflicts as well, and you've got America and all that. Is any influences like that on the periphery of this at all?
Well, there are. There's a regional IGAD. There's a group of regional countries that have been involved trying to negotiate peace between those two sides in particular. We have the main donors. Certainly, we've had the Americans, the British, the Norwegians. You know, all donors have mm-hmm. actually been trying to influence. But it's been very difficult. Really, at the moment, there's very little signs of peace. They've been trying to get the two sides together to talk, but it just hasn't worked. It's really hard to see how there's going to be an end to this conflict. And I think the international community, obviously, they have to do more, maybe to put some more pressure, and particularly around around the protection of civilians and observing international humanitarian law.
Mm-hmm. And I suppose the crisis, I mean, you're talking potential famine, if it hasn't already happened, as well as the diseases, and the farmers are leaving their land. Are they just lying barren then?
That's correct, they are, because there was one area in particular that hadn't previously been affected. It's called the Equatorial, and that area was known as the breadbasket. So there was always, even during those few years of conflict, they were producing food. But they've now been pulled into the conflict, and as a result, that land is lying barren and people have not been able to access or produce any food. So even looking into next year, this crisis is going to continue. So it's going to be ongoing. I mean, what they really need is peace. We need the two sides to get around the table, that there's an agreement, and then I think that we can work to rebuild the country, you know, and people will be able to go back home and they will be able to farm, and then they will be, you know, they won't be dependent or reliant on food aid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it didn't seem to make any sense. It's quite a fertile land, isn't it, that's just been left barren. It's not that they can't grow out and they're not getting the climate or whatever, it's just being left barren.
That's correct. Yes, they would be well able to feed themselves with the land that's there. There's very good land in certain areas. And also, they also have a lot of livestock as well. I mean, what they probably need is just support, maybe with some seeds and tools, and especially maybe drought-resistant seeds. But otherwise, they certainly would be able to feed themselves.
And is the conflict just purely about power? What sort of riches are there in the country that, you know, that would bring in outside interests? I mean, we've got oil in other countries and all sorts of things. What have we got there that sort of causes all of this?
Well, we also have oil up on the border with Sudan. There is a large amount of oil there. So it certainly is about the resources. It's about the oil-rich areas of the country. And yes, very much about power.
Okay. Now, you said, look, you really need a ceasefire. Has there been any attempts? Is there any ongoing or is any intermediaries getting involved?
Well, yes, it is. It's really been ongoing since the conflict started, and there have been numerous meetings in the region, and in particular in Addis Ababa in Ethiopia. It just seems at the moment neither side seems to be willing to engage at the moment. Mm-hmm. But certainly during the last few years, they signed a peace agreement. So there is a peace agreement there, but it just needs to be enacted.
Yeah, you've just got about 300 staff out there, so it's very hard for you to cover such a wide area and get things done. Are you looking for volunteers as well as donations?
Well, we have we're always recruiting, and our jobs are advertised online. But certainly, yes, we have been looking for engineers and health staff, and in particular, we're involved in providing water, providing shelter, health and nutrition programs. So they're the kind of staff that we're looking for. And we're always looking for staff. But that's correct. We've over 350 staff out there, and they're working in, you know, the conditions are quite difficult, and sometimes you're quite isolated. But also, access to luxuries, of course, we also have a curfew. So at the moment in Juba, we have a 7 o'clock curfew, so our staff cannot travel outside after that time.
And the places that you're sort of barred from, obviously you can't do anything in there at all. Would there be negotiations going on there at all? There doesn't seem to be any sense of that, except to make people suffer.
Well, yes, that's it. We have to, again, with we're working closely with the UN, and we are able to negotiate that. What's happened is that we go out for short periods of time. So we would go in and provide the services and then head back to the base and then travel in again. So that's been a very successful method of getting out and providing assistance. But there are some areas that we really haven't been able to access, and sometimes we've had staff in, and they, because of the when the conflict increases, we've had to evacuate those staff quite quickly.
Mm-hmm. Well, the political situation, is it going to get worse, exacerbate itself because of what's happening itself? Is there any optimism on the horizon at all that things would be resolved and maybe a ceasefire would come in?
I think yes. I think if the it'll be maybe the international community, you know, the donors, that will be able to really encourage both sides to come together, and then I think it will be possible to have a ceasefire. But I think more pressure needs to be exerted on both sides.
Yeah, because I mean, as you know yourself, with what's happening all over the world, things come in and out of the news and then are forgotten about, and unless it's kept in the mind's eye all the time, that's the problem that charities like yourself have, I imagine.
That's correct, and there's so much going on in the world, and then you have so much through social media that maybe too we become a little bit immune to it sometimes. So I think it's very important that we do keep it in the media and keep talking about it. I think it's essential that we do that.
Mm-hmm. And of course, you yourselves as an organisation, even though you're being barred from places, but you have to sort of show an impartiality, which you are anyway. But the different conflicts that's going on between the different people within the country, they have to make sure like there's no political allegiance in any way at all. So do you have to negotiate in that sense as well? Do they be looking for that sort of thing or suspected?
Yeah, no, that's really true. I mean, it's really important that we are impartial, that we are neutral, and we show that we are independent from any group. Otherwise, it's extremely difficult. And aid is provided based on need, you know, and it's really important that we and all other agencies maintain that. You know, that's essential, and it's essential to our security, but also for the security of the people that we're helping.
Mm-hmm. And getting food into the areas, as you were saying, that you're barred from, are you looking for any sort of help, maybe even getting the food over to you? And what sort of help are you looking for? Is it all monetary or is there any other help? I know you're looking for volunteers and engineers, but what other help can people give?
Well, it's really through donations, because, again, we're able to procure a lot of the things that we need can be bought locally or regionally, so in Uganda or Kenya, and then we're able to bring in the supplies by road, which is really sometimes the easiest way. Again, you can struggle there a bit, because once the rains come, because, again, if you in South Sudan, they only have about 200, 300 kilometres of tarmac road, of asphalt road. And apart from that, then it's
rough terrain.
Lot of sand and mud trails, mm-hmm. you know. So, but we do. In the dry season, we're able to move, and we try and get supplies in and pre-position supplies. Also, things certainly in the early days of the crisis, air freighted things were flown in, and you know, in some areas we had to do. Well, the UN were doing food drops. In certain areas to try and get the food to people that we couldn't access because of the rain and the conflict.
Okay. And is there anything, I mean, with social media now, that any pleas that people can put out themselves through social media?
Well, I suppose for us with the our politicians, that you know, it's really important that through our politicians we're able to keep the agenda in Europe. I think that's very important. So certainly we can lobby our politicians to make sure it stays on the agenda.
Okay. Anything else, Carol, you can say to our listeners before we go? And again, that website is concern.net if people find out all about the situation. I mean, it's terrible to listen to, as well as what you're talking about with the conflict, with that you're getting the disease. I mean, just getting over Ebola, and then you have all sorts of things that have been hit. It's awful. So the medical side of it must be horrendous as well.
Well, certainly that's true. And you know, I think in the last 3 months of last year, we saw something like 2 million cases of malaria. You know, people just have no resistance, because if they've really have not been eating well for the last few years, your immune system, you know, is really compromised. So it's very difficult. You were saying there, if I could say, maybe just to maybe thank the public and the Irish public, because indeed they have always supported Concern and other organisations, and they've been extremely generous, even, you know, with this crisis that's going on. The Irish have provided over 1 million euros for us to support the crisis in East Africa. So, you know, we're very grateful for the support we always receive.
Okay, thank you very much, Carol, for talking to us, and congratulations with the good work, and I hope it's all, well, there's some kind of resolution and relief soon. Thank you very much for talking to us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye. And that's Carol Morgan, and she's Regional Director for the Horn of Africa.